Hi, and welcome to episode 97 of the Dinner Sisters podcast. We're two sisters taking on the nightly challenge of dinner. 97, Betsy.
That's a lot.
Anyway, I don't know why I needed to pause, but I had a moment there. I'm Kate Schultz, living and working in Rhode Island. I'm a passionate cook and recipe collector, always thinking about my next meal.
And I'm Betsy Wallace. I live, work, and raise a family in Atlanta, Georgia. I love dinner time, but can always use help planning and cooking for my family of five, even after 97 episodes, Kate.
Even 97 times later.
Yeah.
Our goal of this podcast? We want to cook a little better, learn a little bit about food, and most importantly, figure out what the heck to have for dinner. And here's how this works. Like every week, we have three recipes that we cooked and reviewed from popular food blogs, internet chefs, and other sources on the World Wide Web. We'll have all these recipes, tips, the smorgasbord, and the shopping list on our website at dinnersisters.com. And by the way, you can also get everything sent directly to your inbox on Monday mornings by subscribing to our newsletter. There I put all the links to the new episodes, some fun things that we're talking about, you know, if you want to preview things before you listen.
Okay, let's dive in. This week's recipes were vegan winter vegetable stew with cheesy dumplings by Rabbit and Wolves, Doc Dorit Tang spicy chicken stew from Korean Bop Sang, and Moroccan fish stew from BBC Food.
Betsy, I'll tell you this. When winter really hits, all I really want to do is eat things that like are eaten with a spoon. Mm-hmm. Like I don't want salads anymore. I just want like a soup, something to warm me up. I mean, we have actually pretty wide variety this week. So first up, we have a vegan option. Always mm-hmm. good to get your veggies in this time of year. Some people maybe be going vegan for January. Good luck mm-hmm. to you, you know. So here's a vegan winter vegetable stew with cheesy dumplings by Rabbit and Wolves. And I would describe this as a big bowl of winter vegetable comfort topped with some savory, herby dumplings. Kind of in a nutshell, right? So to make it, you first peel and chop into large chunks three carrots, an onion, a parsnip, potatoes, and mushrooms. And you start by sauteing the onions until they get kind of nice and golden. Add in your garlic, let it get fragrant. And then you deglaze a pan with apple cider vinegar, which I had never done before, so it was kind of interesting. Then you add in the rest of the vegetables, let it cook for a bit, and then pour in the apple juice, vegetable broth, and soy sauce with some herbs, sage, thyme, and bay leaves. Just simmer that up until the vegetables are tender, which is about 20 minutes. Meanwhile, you make some dumplings with flour, baking powder, and baking soda, salt, pepper, sage, thyme, and for the vegan cheesiness, nutritional yeast. Mix it all up with some almond milk and olive oil, and you drop big spoonfuls into the broth, pop your lid back on, and let it cook for 10 minutes. So, like I said, I feel like this is like the most carby vegan comfort food you can find. How did everyone like it, Betsy?
Yeah, so I made this just for us. Ryan's gone this week, so it was just me and the kids. And they liked it.
Okay.
I felt like I was just like, oh my gosh, this is very carby, starchy.
Yeah. it was.
I think this mm-hmm. might take a couple days to get over this vegan stew here, which just like lots of water and lots of mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. However, I thought the flavors were tasty. To be honest, I forgot to pick up the nutritional yeast, so I can't comment on the faux cheesiness of this. Did that come through really for you?
I did. It didn't. I mean, I'm not. People are going to get up in arms about this, but I am not 100% sold on the absolute cheesiness of nutritional yeast. Okay. I think it's got a very like umami flavor to it. And maybe if you're not eating cheese, like that tastes like cheese to you. I didn't really notice it in the dumplings too much. I think I have it in my fridge. I have bought it for other recipes. I like it on popcorn. Sometimes
that's what people always say,
mm-hmm. and it's actually pretty good. So I just had some, but I think you could easily leave it out, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if I was missing like a flavor blast there.
I wouldn't go flavor blast on that. I agree with you, Betsy. I think the broth was actually really good.
I was
kind of surprised. I was like, oh, the apple cider vinegar, a little bit of apple juice, the soy sauce ended up pretty well. I mean, I'm with you. This was really heavy. This is pretty thick. And I probably should have like added a little extra water at the end. I feel like if you made this after a nice big ski outside and you're really cold and you just want something like, kind of like heavier to warm you up, I liked it. But like a bowl of this, I needed a nap, you know?
Yeah.
I
I was
was like,
just like,
oh.
trying to lighten up after the holidays, Kate. Thank
Yeah.
you for this bowl.
It was a bowl of carbs. It was a bowl
Yeah,
of
it
carbs,
was.
but it was a bowl of like veggie carbs. So I felt like, I don't know, you are getting some nutrients out of that. That said, I ate this, did not miss the meat of a chicken stew at all. You know, no complaints there. So I feel like if you want to cook something vegan, but you want something that's a little heartier, maybe you're missing that in your vegan salads or something, like go ahead and cook this up. So this is like a high 3 out of 5 stars for me. I'm not sure I'd make it in a regular rotation, but I do think it was tasty. What about you, Betsy?
Yeah, I think the mushrooms did kind of break things up, like
Yeah.
break the carbiness up a little bit. I think that saved it. And yeah, I'm kind of going with a 3 out of 5 for me too. I'm not totally sold on this recipe. I thought it was great. It was like flavor, the brothy flavors, but I was not like I don't know if I can see myself making this again, but
Yeah,
worth
I get
trying.
that.
Yeah. Okay, so next up we have the spicy chicken stew, the Korean spicy chicken stew from Korean Bopsang. Kate, tell us about this one.
So one thing I've learned when I've been exploring Korean food a little bit more is they do stews really well. Like you can find a bunch of Korean stews out there. And so this is really amazing recipes. This one, the recipe is actually for the slow cooker, which we know how I feel about slow cookers. So I actually adapted it for the Instant Pot. I was like, I don't have 4 hours. But it also has directions for a stovetop. So we'll put the adaptation for the Instant Pot, and I'll talk about that in a bit. But you can also do this just, using your pots and pans. Anyway, so to make it, you take 3 pounds of bone-in chicken, the thighs or the drumsticks, and you put them in your cooker with big chunks of potatoes, onions, and carrots, and you make a sauce of gochugaro, which is Korean chili flakes, gochujang, which is Korean pepper sauce, soy sauce, rice wine, sugar, and honey. Pour that all over everything, and you cook it in the slow cooker for 4 hours on high or 6 hours on low. And when it's done, stir in a teaspoon of toasted sesame oil, a couple teaspoons, I think. And you just serve it topped with sesame seeds, some sliced up scallions, plenty of white rice on the side. Betsy, I'm so curious. You said you did a friend lunch with this, so I want to know how this turned out.
Yeah, so my friend Melanie, who I actually made the dumplings with, just recently got an Instant Pot on sale at Target post-holidays. So she
Nice.
had texted me this earlier, like last week, and I said, "Oh, I'll come over. I'm going to see your new house and I'll bring some ingredients and we'll make one of the podcast recipes together in your Instant Pot." And so when you said that you had adapted this to the Instant Pot, I thought, "Oh, good, I need to make this one anyways. This is what we'll make together." So it was just easy because I mean, it couldn't be more straightforward. I feel like with the potatoes, onions, carrots, I mean, nothing that's crazy here. I brought over my Korean chili flakes and,
There you go.
like a few of the like small pantry items that were needed. But we put it together. I think it maybe took us 5 or 10 minutes to just kind of get everything in the Instant Pot, and then we set it for like the 13 minutes that was in your notes. We kind of took a little tour of her new house.
Nice.
And by the time we were
Had a
done with
soda,
that,
nice
yeah,
tea.
like, had, and after we were done with that, we came back and it had been like, 10 minutes of kind of natural releasing or whatever. So it was sort of ready to go. And we actually did not eat this over rice. We just had it as kind of like a brothy chicken with the potatoes and the carrots, because we didn't want to, we didn't just didn't feel like making the rice. And then also, it's kind of a lighter lunch. It did not feel like it needed the rice. So I thought it was delicious. We both said it might have been a little bit easier to eat, and if we made it again, we might make it with boneless, skinless chicken thighs. That was the only comment was I'm not sure, obviously they always say it adds more flavor, but I just thought for ease of eating, and if I was going to do this with my kids, definitely I would go boneless, skinless. And I did like the red pepper flakes, gave it like a little bit of heat, but not too much. And it was just really pleasant and delicious. And we both really liked it.
This I thought was so good. I will say there is actually a recipe note saying don't use boneless
Oh, is
skinless because
there?
it's, yeah, they're
Oh,
like,
that's
because
funny.
for the very reason you said, which is like, it's not as delicious. I'm kind of like,
That's
I mean,
hilarious.
yeah.
I was like, no, I definitely do this boneless, skinless next
Yeah.
time.
I mean, like at the end of the day, the actual like level of deliciousness, I don't know. Is it like overridden by the fact that your kids are going to complain about peeling skin off chicken? No, it's 100% not. No. And I actually thought about that. I brought it to work the next day and I was like, oh man, cutting this off a chicken thigh bone is not that much fun at my desk. So I get that. I would probably do the same. This really made me glad, and we'll talk about this later, like that I had all the pantry items to make this because carrots, onions, and potatoes, I don't know, like very rarely. I mean, I have to buy potatoes because I don't go through them very often, but everything else, like I have all the Korean stuff, so that was just really easy. I agree. This was super easy. The other thing I'll say about the chicken, there's some people who don't like dark meat chicken. I think you'd have to rewrite the recipe to do this with chicken breast. And like if I get an overwhelming request, I can rewrite it for that. But I think it would probably mean stovetop or like quick release instant pot, throw the breasts in, do something else. It's like a whole, because the chicken breasts are going to take a lot less time to cook than your hard vegetables, the onions and the carrots and things. To do it in the Instant Pot, what we did is we just added a quarter cup of water to the pot just to make sure that there's enough so you didn't get that burn warning, right? And we cooked it on high pressure manual for 13 minutes with a 10-minute natural release that seemed to kind of do the trick. And because this is chopped up chicken pieces, I had read in other recipes that you can slash the meat of the chicken kind of to the bone to get that sauce into the chicken. So I did that as well, and I think that was really good. And I actually took everything out of the pot and left the sauce and then reduced it for a bit. That was kind of delicious because I did it over the rice thing.
Yeah,
But I don't think you have to.
we did that too, just 'cause you had said you did, and then in the notes that you sent me, and then I also wanted to show Melanie like the saute, like this is how you can just switch it over quickly to the saute and that kind of stuff. So we actually did that as well, and I was thinking at that point, I thought, ooh, this would be delicious if you had rice to kind of
Kind of soak up all that sauce.
soak that up.
Yeah. So for rating, I give this a 4 out of 5 stars. I really liked it. That's really good.
Yeah, I do too. I want to try to make this again with those boneless skinlets, even though it's going against the recipe recommendations. I want to try it.
I
But
think it'll
four
be
out of
fine.
five. Yeah.
I'm gonna be delicious.
Okay, so our last recipe of the episode is a Moroccan fish stew from BBC Food.
Here we go, Betsy. The recipe that we've been talking about for days. All right. So this last recipe, like the title says, is kind of a Moroccan-inspired stew, and it's got chickpeas in it, a meaty white fish like a cod, onions, and tomatoes, and then all those warm spices, the cumin, I'm sorry, not the cumin, the turmeric and the cinnamon. Oh, and cumin, yeah. So to get it going, what you do is you slice an onion thinly and you throw it in a Dutch oven to get it soft with some olive oil. You mince up some garlic, and when the onions are translucent, you add that garlic to the pan, along with the spices, like I said, the cumin, the turmeric, some grated fresh ginger, and you just let them bloom and get nice and fragrant. Then you add in a little cayenne pepper, a can of diced tomatoes, and about half a can of water. You simmer all that for 10 minutes and then add in some chunks of the white firm fish. It's about a pound. And you just cook it until the fish is almost done. And the last thing to go in is a can of drained chickpeas, a big drizzle or two of honey, and let the chickpeas warm up and finish the fish up. And that's it. That's all there is to the recipe. They suggested serving it with slivered almonds and cilantro. And that's it. That's your stew. Betsy, you and I cannot get over this recipe. Like, tell me more. Tell me your thoughts.
Well, okay. Everyone I talk to was saying, I actually said to Melanie, I have a couple recipes. We could do, this Korean chicken thing, or I could make this fish stew. And she was like, ooh, I mean, I'm sure the fish stew is going to be good, but maybe not. And then I mentioned to our mom that we were going to make a fish stew, and she was kind of like, oh, a fish stew, interesting. So people have this really had a really funny reaction, and I kind of did too about making a fish stew.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
It's getting a bad rap, Kate, because this was the most amazing stew I've definitely made this season, I
So
think.
good.
And every once in a while, we just like hit on a recipe where I think both of us are saying, whoa,
Stop the presses.
this is really amazing.
I think you and I can kind of be like I know I can be. I won't say what you are, but I know I can be like a recipe bully. Like once I get like if I get a recipe like this, I want to make everyone make it. I'm like, no, don't understand. This fish stew is amazing.
Yes, and that's kind of what we said. It was like the heirloom tomato and peach or stone fruit
Yes.
salad, where you're like, I know you don't want to eat tomatoes and plums together, but
But you're gonna
just
love
trust
it.
me and try it once. And that's sort of how I feel about this fish stew. And also, Kate, like you were saying, it could not have been easier.
Oh my gosh.
And it's kind of thrifty. I used tilapia from Aldi on this, and I thought it was delicious. You
Did
used a
the
little bit
tilapia
more.
break down at all? Did you have a problem with that or no?
Just a little bit. Like, I felt like I could
All
have stirred it a little bit less.
right.
I
Sure.
kind of went overboard with the stirring, and then I was like, oh no, I should, back it off. Take your spoon out. You do not need to be stirring it this much.
Yeah, I mean, it cooks for so little time. You don't really need to like stir the heck out of it.
Right, you're
That's for
just
sure.
kind of poaching this fish in the broth. There's no need to
Yeah.
be stirring in there all the time.
Yeah.
And I mean, both of us said too, the leftovers were great. I had the leftovers the next day with some
Me
naan, and
too.
oh,
Yeah. Delicious.
Kate, it was so
Yeah.
good.
I guys, listeners, I'm telling you this. Make this stew. It's so good. I didn't use tilapia. We have a local fishmonger, and if I can, I try to remember to buy fish from them. And when I went in, he recommended monkfish, and just, like this is not a, inexpensive place to go buy fish, but it's all local, it's sustainably catched and caught, excuse me. And so I was like, all right, I'll go with a monkfish. But even with that splurge, I like thought about it with a can of chickpeas and some onions. This came in under $4 a serving, which, and I did not, skimp on the fish here. And that was like, it was like this fun treat because the fish was so delicious and everything was just, I can't believe I'm talking about fish stew this much.
I
People are
know.
already bored. I don't care if you're bored because you need to make this stew. That's all I have to say about that. Okay. This is obviously a 5 out of 5. I might change my profile picture to a picture of fish stew.
Yes. Okay. So here's a final. I did not address this. Like, did your kids eat fish stew? So,
Right. That's a good point.
I loved it. Girls ate it up. They were really happy with this. Grant took one bite and said, "This tastes like dead fish in a bowl." And I was like, okay, no need to
Really?
hear this. So, anyways, he was not really onto the fish stew party, but you always have one hater in the group, so
I mean, yeah, and
no,
Grant,
yeah.
some that's
Oh
not super his
no.
wheelhouse. And your kids, your girls do love fish.
They
So,
do. Yeah, they do. So I caught kind of what I thought was expected reactions, and I cannot say enough about it. We both can't say enough about it.
Yeah.
Five
Tell
out of
us when you
five.
make this. Tell us when you make this. Yes. Okay, so wrapping it up, obviously the fish stew won. It wins every time. It's going to win for the rest of my life. I'm in love with the fish stew.
I'm gonna have like fish stew and then some cherry peach panzanella and then
Just right off into the sunset. Our work here is done. All right. Well, even if it's not the fish stew, if any of these recipes sound good, make sure to check out our show notes and grocery list at dinnersisters.com. There we have links to all the recipes, any tips or techniques we talked about, everything that we talked about on this episode, we've got there for you. And if you'd like to chat more, maybe about fish stew, maybe about other things, you can always ask to join our Dinner Sisters Facebook group. If you search Dinner Sisters Podcast, you can ask to join the group from there.
Okay, Kay, before we head to the smorgasbord, a break. Okay, so on the smorgasbord today, we're talking about what we keep in our pantry and how that's changed with our podcast journey here. Yeah.
So I think you and I have talked about this a little bit and touched on it here and there. We talked about on the podcast today. I think, I definitely have new items in there that I use regularly that I definitely had not used before the podcast. And so for me, it's the gochujang and the sauce, the chili sauce, Korean chili sauce, and the Korean pepper flakes. And both of those I have in my pantry. I use them all the time. I use the sauce on eggs like nearly every day. I squirt it in like some tuna salad the other day. The pepper flakes, anytime a recipe calls for pepper flakes, usually I'm putting those in because it's like this low, slow heat. I just love them. And the other two things are kind of like, I find it funny that I didn't have them in my pantry all the time before, but I always have a can of chickpeas now, and I always have coconut milk. Just because all the best recipes that we've made have these two things in common. And I feel like, if I've got the chickpeas, I can always make that chickpea salad that was so good with the toast and the toasted what am I going to say? The sunflower seeds, the vegan, oh, that one was delightful. The coconut milk, I feel like we've made so many delicious curries with that before. So yeah, those are the kind of things, the Korean pepper stuff and then the chickpeas and coconut milk.
Yeah, I'm with you on the coconut milk. I am crazy about having that in my pantry right now. I just, because I do also love all those curries and I've been really enjoying all those flavors. I have added fish sauce, which I did not really have before, and I've been using it.
Oh, yeah. I go through a ton of that now. I bought the big bottle.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
Look
they
at
sell a big
that.
one. Yeah. It's like the size of an olive oil bottle. It's
Oh,
amazing.
that's fun. Oh, wow. You really
Yeah,
just are in it to win
it's
it.
woo.
For
Yeah.
anyone worried about whether or not we're going to keep going with the
Right.
podcast,
I bought 32 ounces. No, it's not 32 ounces. It's probably like 20 ounces of fish. It's like a lot.
Your
It's an
fish sauce
aggressive amount of fish sauce.
is telling the story here, is giving us indicators. Yes, and I have been buying, someone asked me in the Facebook group about the what kind of olive oil we've been getting or if it's consistent. And I have actually seen so many places now, people buying California olive oil. And so that's just been my kind of go-to in my pantry. And I've been going through that a lot too. I mean, maybe just cooking more or cooking through some of these cookbooks. That's really, I've leveled up that a little bit.
Yeah, for
That's good.
sure.
The sesame oil and like the toasted sesame oil, I have small bottles of each. That comes up and that just imparts a lot of flavor. And I feel
It
like
does,
when
yeah.
I need it, I'm so happy that I have it. So that's been kind of a nice addition. And I'm with you with the Korean pepper flakes, Kate. I am using
Yeah.
those all the time because I love
Yeah.
that like kind of low sweet heat that they give. I'm crazy about it. And then the last thing I'll say is that we got some really good Zanzibar black pepper and some
Yes.
Urfa chili pepper from Burlap and Barrel. I don't think we can go back from that, Kate. Ryan is obsessed with it. He loves that Urfa chili that
Ooh, that stuff
it's
is
like,
really good.
oh, it's so good. And he puts that on everything. And that's got kind of like a low, slow burn on it
It
too.
does. And a bit more of a smoky kind of thing than I think like the Korean pepper. But they're each different and each beautiful in their own way.
Yeah, and he puts that kind of smoky black pepper, kind of almost like a malty flavor to it too. But we'll put it a lot in, like if I make just a like that vegan potato soup, had he been home for that, he probably would have put it in there, like in
Right.
soups and mixed into things like that. So Yeah, do you have anything else in your pantry that you want to mention before we sign off?
I do because this is literally the only place I have to talk about it without being a complete weirdo. So, I'm in love with chili crisp. I don't know if anyone else is doing this, but guys, imagine if you take some oil and in it you toast Szechuan chilies, regular red pepper chilies, a bunch of garlic, and a little bit of like soybeans for the umami, and it's crunchy.
Yeah, Kate, I think anyone who was reading like Food 52 and Serious Eats last year, they just wanted everyone to make
That's
it.
right.
And
That's
I was
right.
thinking
Oh, I
like,
forgot about
who
that.
is
Where they're
gonna
making everyone
make
make it.
this?
I
Yeah.
bought it. And
You
I
bought
this
it.
I looked at it. Yeah. I looked at that. You're right. I did. There were people were going crazy with it. Yes, people were making it, which I think is like, even for me, I'm like, come on. I don't
Yeah.
know. Maybe condiments are my line where I'm just like, ah. But I bought a small jar of it because probably I remember the trend when I was at the Asian grocery store and I was like, all right, I'll see why it's so good. Oh my goodness.
Oh,
This is
really?
so delicious. It's like garlicky without being too hot. It's spicy without being too like in your face. A little bit of crunch is super good. I will put it on eggs in the morning. I've been stirring it into sometimes when we have like congee, the rice
Oh,
porridge,
yeah.
stirred into there. I've stirred into a lot of the soups we've made, like as a little
Yeah.
like
Okay.
extra something. I mean, if you're a person who's like loves to have a little jar or something in the cupboard, I think if Ryan likes that Urfa chili, he might actually like this chili crisp too. It's kind of oily. You just get it like you're just kind of dabbing it on. It's just really delicious. I eat a lot of like soft boiled eggs as snacks. We're kind of on a kick for that, and so I've been kind of dabbing that on them. I don't know, just delicious. It was super inexpensive at the Asian grocery store. I'm sure you can get it on Amazon. If you're looking for something fun to kind of spice things up, I'd recommend it.
Okay, Kate, so coming up next week, we have our first cookbook review of the year, and we are diving into Midwest Made.
Yes.
So exciting. Baking. We're gonna
Oh my gosh.
take a week
So
off
much
the
baking.
baking.
I'm
Yeah.
losing my mind. So much baking. I cannot wait. It's going to be really, really fun.
All right, so that's it for dinner this week. See you next time on the Dinner Sisters. We'll save a spot at the table for you.